Hey, it's Dan Harmon from Harmontown. I want to tell you about an exciting new podcast coming to Feral Audio called Launch Left. Rain Phoenix and Moon Zappa are going to interview extraordinary minds, mavericks, and pioneers in their fields. This season, Launch Left is going to celebrate nonconformists like Michael Stipe, Shepard Fairey, Spike Jones, Mario Batali, and many others. And those guests are also going to spotlight their favorite left-of-center emerging artists. So listen and subscribe now at feralaudio.com/launchleft, iTunes, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can do it however you want, man. That's the nonconformist part.
Feral Audio.
Hello. Welcome to Twisting the Wind. My name is Jacob Dav. My name is Kevin Borman. My name is Phil Esquire. My name is Dash Mav. My name is Ben Jacoby. My name is Force Majeure. My name is Casper Dantoon. My name is Source Majest. My name is Mayan Sam from China. My name is Too Slow to Pronounce. 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 You can't get it cause it's too slow. You couldn't say it if you wanted to. My name is goddamn too slow. It would've taken an entire episode to pronounce my name. To mount my shame. You got disdain. He's my friend. He's a mother babe. It'll suck on a bone. You gotta buckle like a damn and a shake up and do. You gotta kick it like you know you had to do it to do. You gotta do it one more time for you. You gotta do it for you. You gotta do it for you. And so make it. You gotta do it for you. You gonna break it. You gotta get some juice, you can break it. You gotta get it wrong with everything in there. So fucking slow, you can't stand it anymore, Hey everybody, welcome to
Twisting the Wind. My name is Johnny Pemberton. You're listening to Twisting the Wind here on the Feral Audio Network. That's right, the ultimate best podcast superstation radio blast you've ever been a part of in your whole fucking life. Remind Tina to get some baby wipes at Target before she comes home. There's nothing worse than being home with Tina when she don't have no more baby wipes. And I'm saying, nah. Okay, here's the deal. You're listening to a great new episode here, Twisting the Wind. I'm really happy you're here. Sorry if there's some sort of a phasing going on. It's an effusive phaser. We can't take it off much the same way you could take off a blazer. We can't do that. You're going to have dinner with your spouse. You're going to have dinner with your agent. You're going to have dinner with your dame, your client state, your ward. You're going to have dinner with your ward. You can take your blazer off if you ask permission, but I can't remove this effect because it's been bonded to the drip zone. We're in the drip zone. Hi, hello, Kennedy, are you out there? Macon, how about you? I'm trying to find my brother Macon. Can you help me? Are you a drip sore?
I cannot help you. I am bonded to the cave of night. To seek refuge, you must get outside the cave. I cannot speak to you in the drip environment, as I am a drip slave.
Oh no, a drip slave? Oh no, I'll never find Kennedy and Macon in this slave filled with drip slaves. I mean, a cave filled with drip slaves. Oh no, oh no. It's getting drippier. It's getting drippier.
Okay, here's the deal. Okay, here's it. It's for real. It's me. It's Johnny. It's for real. Sorry about that. It was not a real thing. That wasn't a real thing just now. I'm not in a drip cave. It's just a drum machine that's being run through an effects box that causes reverb. Oh my God, you got me. God, you got me good. You got me deep. You got me. I mean, did I pull a hood over your eyes or did I pull it on mine? Either way, happy to be here on this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Saturday, Thursday. So good to be here on Twisting the Wing with Johnny Pemberton. It's the podcast you're currently listening to. A really exceptional musical episode here for you today. It's a real tone thief. I've got a lot of music for you in store. Just to check in and touch down the Delta Dream of sorts. I will be traveling quite exclusively and frequently coming up here in these months. If you're on the Arabian Peninsula from the time of March 11th through the 22nd, take a look at my website and see where I am. I'm also all over the goddamn place in Los Angeles all the fucking time, but that's here. That's actually here. And neither there. This is just here. Also, you can check out things that are happening, upcoming outward bound events, such as the tree tour, which I'm arranging up coming here soon with the help of another botanist. When I say another botanist, that sounds like I'm a botanist. I'm not a botanist. It's a tree tour. It's a tour where I take you around to the Elysian Park and we talk about trees. And it will soon be made into a TV show as well. It's just, because everybody likes trees, right? Do you like trees? Sure as shit better like trees. If you don't like trees, then I've got nothing to please you with. So, or you know what? Maybe if you don't like trees, you should come on this trip because you'll learn about, hey, I thought I didn't like trees, but now I do. And if any time someone is swayed, I always have to talk like this. Other big thing is we still have some Twisting the Wind t-shirts available on the Feral Audio site. These are the last ones, homies. Listen, homies, these are the last ones. There's only a few left. You better get it now. I think that the stock count listed on the drop-down menu there, which you can pay for in any sort of region, is incorrect. And we have less than we have. But if by some reason there's this weird overlap where you and someone else in Jacoby branches click the same t-shirt at the same time and forever, for whatever reason, twist of fate reason, it goes to the Broncos chance instead of going to you, you will be refunded. Or we can, you can just say, hey, keep it, and I'll get you in the next round, because there will be a second round of limited edition. I only do limited edition. So that's how it is. So the Twisting the Wind t-shirts that are currently available are only available now. They'll never be available again, you fucking ka. I want to say a non-word, but ka sounds too much like cock. I don't want to call you a cock. That's a dumb one. You fruit and jam. you call me a fucking jam? Yeah, man. J-O-M, jam. It stands for jumping on mothers. Don't do it. Okay, so get those t-shirts. Get them. Get one. You deserve it. They're beautiful. They're brilliant. They're custom designed by Super Secret Powwow Illustrations. I love them. And I wouldn't put it out if I didn't like it. I really do. And it's kind of come with another custom, maybe not as limited, but limited in this format, Twisting the Wind with Johnny Pemberton sticker. It's an illustration of the very famous moniker of this show, Hands on the Branch. It's
Hands on the Branch.
Hands on the Branch. Hands on the Branch. It's a very special thing. You should probably get it while you can. Otherwise, if you don't get it soon, you won't be able to take advantage of sticking it on your motorbike and riding around downtown Main Street with all your buddies and throwing ice bombs at them. What you do is you take a regular birthday balloon and you fill it up with water. pepper, dip a little underneath a little bit of water, and then you put it in the freezer. Probably might take a full day or more because it takes a long time for water to freeze. So when it's that large of an amount, you want to make sure your freezer is working pretty well. You put it in there, and so it's like a large balloon. It's a birthday balloon. Yeah, it's about the size, about almost a foot around, maybe the circumference. The circumference is probably about a foot and a half. It's pretty large there. You know, it's the size of like a big person's head. Like if a person had a really big head, it's like, oh, my head's too big. I can't wear any hats. That's how big it would end up being. You put that in the freezer, and then once it freezes solid, you take off the balloon composition of it, comportment of it. You take off the balloon quotient. You take off the balloon component of it. And you have this naked ball of ice that looks beautiful and shimmering and smooth. And you can take that anywhere, especially in the summer, because it's like, what is this ice doing here? Why is this ice here in the summer? So you go to some place like an Applebee's, right, that has the window facing the parking lot of the mall where you live or something similar to that. And what you do is you walk up to that. You walk up to that window where the people are sitting there eating. Maybe it's like 6 o'clock. It's happy hour on a Thursday or a Friday. There's people. They're engaged. Okay. They're in the moment. You walk up to that window and you hold the ice bomb above your head. It's going to be cold. It's just going to be part of the experience. It's going to be cold. It's going to hurt actually. If you want, you can wear some gloves or maybe have a rag on your hand, but I suggest doing it bare. Or you might want to have a rag just so you don't drop it. So you walk up to that window, stand about 10 feet away, and you look slowly. You pan your eyes along that window. You make eye contact with everybody. You look at them all, and eventually they'll start to look at you because they're like, why is a guy standing outside wearing a sequin jumpsuit and holding a large glittering glass-like ball above his head with a serious face looking at all of us as we're having our Appetino Towers here on a Thursday happy hour at Applebee TG McFriday fuckers. And what you do is after they make eye contact, you get the most attention you can, which probably takes about 2 minutes at the most, you take that ice bomb and you dismiss it ceremonially. By that I mean you just toss it to the ground. You don't throw it to the ground. It's heavy. It will carry itself down to the ground. And when it does, it will go.
It'll make a loud smashing sound that sounds like glass smashing. And they will all look at that and they'll just be, what in God's name was that, Tony? I don't know, Martha. And then you walk away, you get back in the car you came with your buddies, and everybody's laughing. And then what happens is those people have a story. The rest of them, they'll be like, oh my God, we went down to Apple McBuggers there, and I was having Appetinos with Tony, and next thing you know, right now I was biting into one of those mozzarella sticks, so it was pretty hot, but I was biting into it though. I look over, and there's this young man, he's got a ball of ice over, he's holding it up in the air, and he dropped it on the ground and just shattered. I thought it was glass for a minute, but it turns out it was just ice in the summer. That's weird. Where do you get ice in the summer like that? I don't know. We don't know any ice lakes around here. It's hot in the summertime here, you know. So that's what happened. Pretty crazy, huh? God, I don't know if they should have been arrested or not. Either way, it was a fun night at the Apple Fucker McDoobles.
Okay, this is all I've got to say. Then I'm going to get down to the meat of the heart of the episode. You're listening to Twisting the Wind with Johnny Pemberton here on the Feral Audio Network. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. All three of those things are easy to do in under a minute's time. If you want to leave a review, that might take longer because you're going to want to call up some sort of parts of your body and brain that are like, hey, how can I best describe this thing I like so much? And that's okay. Anything that's difficult is good. Effort. But don't expend too much effort. Don't try to make it good. Just do it. It's okay. Do that. Buy a goddamn t-shirt because they're really good. And I can only wear two of them at a time. And do that. And then listen to this episode here with a great guest. This is a live in studio podcast that I've never done this way before. And it's probably maybe only about 21 episodes of Twisting the Wind left before it becomes something completely different. I know that's, I've talked about this before, but I've made a decision. I'm only going to do 100 episodes of this podcast in this current incarnation. and move on to something a bit more inflexible. Does that make sense to you? Okay, honey. Listen to my beats as I ride away.
Oh my gosh, it's Twisting the Wind. Welcome to Twisting the Wind. This is an unorthodox intro right now, courtesy of the Charades, Dumbhead, produced by Joe Meek. Listen to the rest of it. This is not a PC song.
Yes?
It's not. Welcome to Twisting the Wind. This is Twisting the Wind with Johnny Pemberton. I have a special guest today with me is John Nielsen. You say it, John Nielsen?
Nielsen? Yeah, that's right.
Not Nelson.
Nope.
Not Nolson. It's Nielsen. John Nielsen is a musician from Minnesota. Are you from Minnesota?
I'm actually not, no.
You're not from Minnesota. Where are you from?
No, I'm from Rapid City, South Dakota.
Rapid City.
Yeah.
That's like the Old West, right?
It is,
there were standoffs there, weren't there?
Oh, yeah. Standoffs.
Shootouts,
stand-ins.
Did they have some stand-ins back then?
Yeah, occasionally.
Back was it a hotbed for the weather under? A hotbed for 60s activism, Rapid City?
Yeah, well, no.
I can believe it. Okay, it wasn't. Got it. It was not.
Not exactly. No.
That's fine, though. John's here because he's in town, and we know each other from Minnesota for mutual friends who've been on the podcast before, i.e. Steve Ernest, Phil Johnson, Patrick Leanne. Such folks, and this is just a perchance, cosmic ray meeting, and we're listening to some Joe Meeks here. Joe Meek. People always say Joe Meeks. I think I say Joe Meeks, but it's Joe Meek.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a big Joe Meek fan, aren't you?
I am. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, became an obsession for a while.
Really?
Sure. Absolutely.
When was it an obsession most?
It was a few years ago.
So do you know a lot about him?
A fair bit. I mean, right. I got fascinated with the music first, and then the story is every bit as fascinating.
I don't think I know the whole much of the story really about him at all, actually. I just know some things that people have told me about his weird way of recording. Like he had this apartment that he had, he sort of made into a studio, and he insisted on playing the bass drum a lot of times with things.
Yeah, yeah, there was a shower.
Mm-hmm.
Like a fiberglass shower that he used almost predominantly for a majority of these recordings from such and such time. Spanned over several years.
Of the fiberglass shower bass drum.
Was pretty much the only sound producing the bass drum sound.
Weird, because you don't. It doesn't sound exceptionally different, the bass in there. Do you think?
Yeah, it has a tone, though.
Right.
It has a specific sound.
I guess maybe, I haven't listened for it, but I was never, I've always been so busy listening to other parts of the music that I feel like any sort of, what's that thing they say about editing? If you see it, then it's bad. I feel like maybe that's the case with if you're hearing, that's an exceptional bass drum.
Yeah,
it might be taking you out of it.
But well, that's kind of what I like about the recordings he made, because they're so murky.
Yeah.
That it's, I mean, everything blends together into this just paste.
It's like a blast paste.
Yeah.
It's all so fucking good. I can't recommend that stuff enough. It's like a thing where there's the album that the one I got into was that one that Mississippi put out, the I think it's called The Strange and Occult World, The Eccentric and the Occult World of Joe Meek. And it's just he's how many things did he produce? Like probably a couple hundred tracks at least, right? Maybe more.
Way more than that.
It's like thousands?
Thousands.
Oh my
yeah.
God, I didn't
thousands
realize
that.
Thousands
of sets. Okay. Yeah, for sure.
Jesus. Do you have as much influence on all of them as he did the ones that we like, the big ones?
I think he did. I mean, he kind of pioneered the modern music producer role.
He did, okay.
Kind of before. Yeah, a lot of the stuff he was doing was really controversial.
Really?
In his personal life and just with the sounds.
What was in his personal life that was crazy?
Well, he was a homosexual.
He was, okay.
And
controversial.
Especially of the time.
In England as well.
So, yeah, right.
Which
right.
is, I suppose, I don't know if it's more controversial there or less, or probably equally, but different in a different way. Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Hated in a different way.
Yeah.
The story of the UK.
And he was, undiagnosed, but people have speculated that he was a paranoid schizophrenic
really?
As well.
Okay, that makes sense, yeah.
But, you know, really unorthodox methods, you know, using distortion when that was really something that was not.
Yeah. It's like some of those Alan Toussaint records from the 60s, those ones in New Orleans, where he has the stuff, the whole goddamn track is run through what sounds like an echo box or something. I'm like, what the
right.
hell? It sounds amazing, but it seems really, like, seems like someone would be, what the fuck are you doing to my song?
It's like, yeah.
It sounds really good this way.
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, there's a couple Joe Meek recordings of, like, this jazz group, and I read an account from their perspective, mm-hmm. and they heard the playback after they played this song, and you know, it's like a typical jazz combo,
right.
like five piece or something, you know, and they play it back, and all of a sudden, all you can hear is this really muffled sounding guitar and a really distant saxophone, and then just like this, like it sounds like somebody's kind of just like tapping a marble on glass, you know, or something.
Like a toy drum.
And
it's just tiny.
Yeah, it sounds, you know, it sounded absolutely nothing like what they played.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, really upset about it and ended up being somewhat of a hit.
Really? What, you know what track that was?
I feel like I'm terrible with remembering names.
Yeah, it's hard. The Moon Trackers. It's
that,
not the Telstars.
Nope.
The Tornadoes, that's a different sort of band.
Yep. That was kind Tornadoes. Of the house band
yeah,
that he had.
That's the big one. That's the big one.
Yep. And that one as well had the same kind of response from the musicians that played it.
Really?
They got done and, you know, one of them said, well, we just cut the biggest piece of shit that we could have. This is great.
It's so funny how that works as you think about so many things and you have to be... I don't know, it's so easy to judge things a certain way. I guess it's all based on your expectations of it, because they expect a certain thing and they don't get it, so it must be, it must be bad, because it didn't happen
right.
how we thought it was going to happen. There's that one song, I think it's a John Layton band that he was producing, that is, I think it's, the Blue Rondo's Little Baby, for me, I've listened to that song over and over and over and over again, and it's something about it, it's just like, it's a, what a weird mix of genres. It's like this genre, it's like its own genre. The genre is Take Drugs in the Southwest or something like that.
Yeah.
That's what it should be called. We should listen to that real quick because I have it here.
Yeah.
This is the Blue Rondos, which I think is John Layton is singing in there or something, right? Because it's the same voice as the ones that are...
That one is Mike... Mike Berry or something?
Mike Berry, he's singing.
Is that who it is?
I don't know. I mean, all I know is it's the Blue Rondos. It's it's hard to find some of the crediting of some of these things. They're kind of buried.
Yeah, well, some of the stuff he would just make up names for these
right.
people, too.
Yeah.
So it is really convoluted trying.
Right.
Yeah, there are, multiple artists that are the exact same person that he would rebrand and relabel as somebody completely different.
It's like literally a one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
Like by design.
Was, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear this. This is Little Baby by the Blue Rondos. So good. Here it comes. It's going to be really good. Once this spools up. Makes me think of just being on a horse, like riding into the sunset in the great Southwest. Ugh.
Yeah.
Kill me dead. So that was the Blue Rondos, The Little Baby. That's a Joe Meeks production from, I guess, probably the height of the goodness, right?
Yeah, definitely. Ugh.
Man, there's something about that shit. Yeah, I don't know. There's a few artists where I listen to them and I feel like I just want to listen to that genre and have a special technician to medicate me like for hours, and as I sit in a hot tub looking out over the elevated snows of Flagstaff or some shit like that. You know what I mean? It's like the ultimate music in terms of just like downloading pleasure, as far as the whatever little sack of fluid in your brain that spews out the, because yeah, it's not all music I feel that way, where I get the, you just listen to it, you just hear this, it just draws something out of your brain. It's weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, every track of the Joe Meek stuff is, it's just kind of mysterious sounding to me. Just
yeah,
like,
it's got a spookiness to it.
Yeah, how it happened. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I really want to know. I know there's no way to know, but that's kind of what I like about it.
That was that time period when there was, it was in the 50s and 60s, so there's all these movies on, all these shitty, low budget, spooky alien monster movies. It's kind of got that tinge to it. And there's also the kitsch of of Americana, which is sort of, I guess it's tied into the Southwest, because Americana is a lot about traveling and your recreational vehicle and eating bright colored foods and things like that. Yeah. It's so weird how it's, I don't know. There's something about that. You can't really pin it down, but I guess there's this guy, Charles Phoenix, who lives in L.A. I think he's still around. I mean, he is sort of this connoisseur of that type of culture, like Americana, like tiki. It's all kinds of things. He wrote a book about it, but he's sort of like, I feel like he's almost like a Joe Meek type character, I feel like, in a way. He's a very flamboyant gay man who dresses to a T, like everything all the time. And he's very outspoken in terms of everything he talks about as far as like cultural things of that era and just how, so it's like that weird thing where it's terrible, but also you love it. It's this, it's like that, I guess that's what kitsch is, isn't it, to some extent? I don't know. Kitsch is hard to describe, I suppose. You need to be a philosopher to describe it.
Yeah.
But we didn't start here today to talk about Joe Meeks. We just sort of fell into this by accident. We were just talking about, what are we talking about? Because I was playing it when you came in, right?
Yeah. Right.
But I really want to have you here to talk about your music, which I'm a huge fan of and wanting to play on the podcast for a long time. You have a band called Fortified Five. That's the current group, right?
Yeah.
Which is one of the greatest band names of all time because it allows you to be just numbers, right? 4255, but also fortified, like fortified with vitamins, five.
Yeah.
It's just
ground. Or 4255.
4255.
Yeah.
Which would be like...
One member is kind of hard to pin down sometimes. Yeah. So if he's gone,
4-5.
Then it's just the 4-2-5.
Oh, that's great too! Five. Wow, it works many different ways. Yeah, 4-5-5. And you gave me a couple when I saw you in Minnesota. It was like a year ago. You gave me some tapes, and I just blasted them. I have this car that has a tape player in it now. Got it about a year ago, so I can listen to them. And I just was blasting them, hardcore blasting them, and that's something I fucking love. Is that? I think we should just play a song. I should play a song from that album first, just so people know what we're talking about when I'm talking to you about this stuff. I want to play this track. My favorite track on the album is "Buns Hold'em," which is to me is like such a great title of a song because the title is "Buns" and in parentheses it's "Hold'em," hold on to your buns. I suppose is that the idea behind that?
You know, it's open to interpretation, but I mean, it's limited.
Okay.
You know, it's either holding on to your own buns or holding on to somebody's or having somebody else hold on to yours.
Buns, because buns is such a great word where buns doesn't get used a lot.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, buns.
I really like the kind of, I really have an immature sense of humor.
Okay.
And I really like cute names for things.
Okay.
Especially when I think of them as being dirty things.
Yeah, like calling a dildo like Jimmy or something. I don't know. That's maybe, I don't know. I see what you're saying, though. Like calling things cute that are not cute, really. We're going to play this song. Is there anything people should know about the song before they hear it? They should just hear it.
Well, it was a pretty fun song to make. I did it at this place that was in Minneapolis for a while called Medusa.
Okay. I've been there. Medusa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw one of the last shows there, I think. Well, I met one of the last, but I saw the last time Skull Kodiak played there.
Okay.
That place was crazy. That place was like a real... That's what, when you think of a sort of a dive punk place that's... You can do whatever you want that also sounds great. That is it's like the epitome of a... Of that type of a venue. They're very rare now, I feel like, because people were scared of litigation.
Yep. I mean, I feel like, they exist quite a bit in Oakland, I've found, and I'm sure they do other places.
Right.
But...
Superior, Wisconsin, maybe?
Maybe. Maybe there's half of one there.
Yeah.
That place was amazing. It was really good. I lived there at a time when... It wasn't quite as disgusting as maybe the time you went there.
Yeah, it was.
It really went downhill for a while.
It did, okay.
Yeah, I mean, believe it or not, there was carpet in it at one point.
Got it.
And then soon after, it became completely saturated with
everything.
Beer and everything else.
Yeah, all sort of human things.
And then, you know, it just became inhabitable after that. But there was this keyboard or organ there, like a really cheesy organ.
Like from the 80s, maybe?
Probably from the 80s. Could have been 70s, hard to tell.
Right.
It was called the Fun Machine.
Oh, okay.
Maybe you've seen that, yeah.
Years ago, I remember there being in the Tallahassee Mall, where I went to college years ago, there was a retail store I'm pretty sure this is it. Maybe this is, this might have been even earlier than this. Might have been when I was a little kid in Louisiana. But I remember seeing a retail store for organs in a mall. And that's definitely one of the preeminent models they have is the Fun Machine. It's got the little colored letters, right? Fun
yeah.
Machine.
Yep.
Yeah. I've definitely seen that more than once.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
been like, this is a relic, man.
Yeah.
This is a relic from a different time when people, like, oh, you get an instrument so you can entertain the family. It's a thing.
At a time when they yeah. actually had stores that were just full of organs.
Yeah. An organ store.
In a mall.
Yeah. So they have one of those there?
Yeah. And that thing, I mean, it delivers. The name does not lie.
It does not lie in terms of fun?
It was absolutely, I mean, I sat down, had never played the thing, and mm-hmm. I'm terrible at keyboards.
You are, okay.
I mean, so it was kind of, it was a miracle that anything came out of the thing that was good.
So that's sort of where you wrote this album on?
Actually, just that song in particular.
Okay.
Recorded there. And it was on a tape that I had been using to record some live shows.
Okay.
So there's actually a few other musicians on this one. Just, you know, because it was an artifact of
right.
the recording that was previously on there. And I thought that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Because I got to put them on this recording without them saying it was okay.
Oh, okay. Oh, it was on the tape already,
yeah,
on the
yeah.
four track you
yeah.
recorded
and I
on.
Just thought it kind of, it's like all the kind of weird sounds that you hear. There's saxophone and drums and stuff, and then some backwards vocals and guitar.
Let's listen to it, and then we'll talk about it in depth. This is a perfect little pop song. I just love it. That's my Martha Stewart style intro. Here we go. Buns, hold 'em. It's a great intro. I love it. Hold 'em. That's from Fortified Five. That's Fruity Francois on the Fortified Five.
Yeah,
such a great song. There's some of the other songs in here. I'm trying to remember some of the other ones I like so much too. Is this a concept album of sorts? It kind of is, right? No,
I don't know. I guess I wouldn't say that necessarily because I don't really have a concept
really?
Behind it.
But it does. The songs do kind of they do transition into each other. Kind of. Some of them do, don't they? They kind of just.
Yeah, I mean. I kind of just like that about records sometimes.
Because
mm-hmm. I always anticipate the next song and records a lot of times.
Right.
So, you know, it's like, I don't know. I really love We're Only in It for the Money.
Okay. I was just about to say, I hope you don't resent the comparison of a Frank Zappa, because it's like, I feel like it's there in a way I think I've ever heard a modern record that sounded like that in the same way that wasn't Zappa.
I think that's cool.
Well, yeah, I think it's amazing, because that stuff... Well, that's the other thing about this that kills me, is that the tone of this whole record sounds like it's old. It sounds... There's parts of this... There's some song in here that reminds me of, like, a George Harrison song from... From the, you know, what's his big album? The big double one, All Things Must Pass. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it.
It sounds like a track from there, but I think it's the guitar, your guitar tone or something is just so good that it's, I don't know. It's the way it's recorded, the way you recorded it was pretty.
It's all on old equipment.
Okay. Is it just that? Is that all it is, you think?
Could be. I mean, I listen to a lot of old music.
Okay.
I don't know. It's like, I listened to a lot of current music for a while.
Right.
Getting into music. And
what
then,
kind of stuff did you listen to that was more current?
You know, lots of like DC punk music.
Okay, like Fugazi?
Yep. Yep.
Right.
You know, stuff like that.
Right.
And then, you know, then I just started discovering older music and then just have kept going back and back. And
yeah.
Sometimes I just get overwhelmed with how much great stuff there's already been that I oftentimes forget about anything that's happened now.
It's super overwhelming. It's a thing where when you find something new that you haven't heard of that's older, it's just like, how can this be?
Yeah.
How can this be? This is so good, and it's old, and I've never heard of it, and this person's got murdered in 1991. You know?
Yeah.
It's like a thing where, yeah, it's crazy overwhelming, but it kind of just, I guess it goes back to the thing where... Maybe that's always happening, you know, all the time. It just,
right.
There's just, also a lot of it, I feel like, has to do with where you are when you listen to something. But certain times I feel like I hear things in a certain way and I would have missed it if I listened to it a different way.
Sure.
Yeah. It's like, I feel like a lot of times the stuff I hear, if I hear it in the car, it resonates more. Or if I hear it when I'm listening to records with like two or three friends when we've been, you know, drinking and smoking a little bit, it's like some of you hear it like you wouldn't otherwise. And
right. I've written off Steely Dan. I mean, well, up until about a year ago.
Did Steve do it to you?
He didn't,
he
actually.
Didn't. He did it to
he
me.
Tried. He really tried.
Oh, he tried hard, I bet, too.
Yeah.
And it's probably, sometimes that kind of hurts, actually. Yeah. When you have someone selling you on something so hard. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And then I made the mistake of comparing it to, like, Supertramp or something.
Yeah, it's not,
and then
it's different.
I realized it was.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't know. He played one record, like Royal Scam or something. I thought it was okay. And then I took a trip and just listened to it, you know, like four times in a row.
Yeah.
While driving, and then I was like, oh, okay, you know, this band is okay. And then I heard Gaucho, thought it was terrible.
Uh-huh.
I was like, this is the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
And then I listened to that six times in a row on a road trip, and then it was like my favorite record ever.
Yeah, it's weird how the best things don't hit right away, but the things that are the worst are like, you're right away like, ah, this is great! And you're like, oh, this fucking sucks now. There's something about that. That's why I feel like that's a problem with modern music, is that I don't think it's the problem with music so much, but it's the way we consume it and the format we consume it in.
Yeah.
Doesn't lend itself to rediscovery because it's so disposable that if you don't like it right away, it's easy to lose it because it doesn't really... If you have a record or you have something that's physical, it's easy to find it again, literally find it. Or if you have it just some other way, it makes it easier to rediscover something. But that's with digital stuff, it's hard to...
Well, and there's no commitment either. I mean, it's like you don't really have to like go look for something, buy it,
right?
Take it home, put it on something and play it,
right?
And like focus. I mean, you can just type it in, anything you want to hear, no matter what. Type it in, you hear it, it doesn't sound good immediately, then it's written off and gone.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no commitment to it. You didn't have to pay anything for it.
Yeah.
So it's...
Or if you did pay something for it, maybe you don't really care about the what you paid for. I don't know. It's something. It's definitely, it's definitely simpler. Also, the bandwidth of the sound is different too. Like even this podcast, like listeners, you know this. I talk about this all the fucking time, but I talk about music here all the time. I recommend stuff, and I'm like, if you even like that song a little bit, you should buy it because it's going to sound so much better, so much bigger when you have either the full MP3 or you have the LP or you have some format of it that's bigger and broader, because squish shit sounds like, it just sounds squished. There's so much squishing going on. There's a lot of squishing.
Yeah, a lot of squishing.
That's why those cassettes are kind of cool in a way, because they're lo-fi, but there is like a sound to them. It's like a weird depth. It's I don't know what it is. Yeah. I mean, you could probably describe it better.
I mean, it's just like the murkiness of the Joe Meek stuff that sounds so good.
Yeah, it's a murkiness, but there's like a width to it, as opposed to being sharp and shallow.
Yeah. Sure.
That's it. Murky and deep, but versus sharp and shallow. How do you describe MP3s? Well, it's murky versus sharp and shallow. Murky versus murky. It's like a bog versus a kiddie pool. MP3 is a kiddie pool with lots of little needles in it, and whereas a cassette's like a bog, a very warm bog
with razor blades.
Sticks that are
socks.
Just sharp enough to feel them, but not sharp enough to penetrate. It's like a bale of nets, a nail of beds, and a bed of nails. That's a good spoonerism. I haven't thought of that one before. Bale of nets, but which is really just nail of beds, which is it's inverted on itself. Nail of beds. Can we get a nail of beds in here, please? Because we've got to relax quickly. Because if we don't chill out, then we might fall out and tune in before we drop out. And that's the basis of the joke. I want to play another song from this album because I feel like people should hear it. I'm trying. What songs do you think we should play? You know it.
Well, let's see.
Be on Time, Don't Be Late, The Ballad of Abner Alamode.
Oh, yeah.
Those are both hot ones, aren't they?
Sure. Yeah, either one of those.
Okay. I want to play one more track here from Fruity Francois and the Fortified Five, the 2013 release from John Nielsen, available on Bandcamp, right? That's the only place.
And, currently, yeah.
And LP is coming, though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
It's coming.
It will be.
Okay. Yeah. So buy the stuff on Bandcamp now and then get the LP. When it comes out, it'll be, because you have to get the LP. We'll talk about this in a minute, but we'll talk about why you have to get the LP because of another LP that came out before this. Here it is. Be on Time, Don't Be Late. Mas de la... I don't know what I was going to say there. That was more Freddy Francois and the Fortified Five. That was tracks 2 and 3. Beyond Time, Don't Be Late, and the Ballad of Abner Alamode. Absolutely incredible guitar work, John.
Ah, thank you.
The guitar work is exceptional, which leads me to talk about your other band you had previous to this, Knife World. Yep. That's a... You played... How long did that band... How long did that band around?
Let's see... gosh, I guess I think we started around 2003.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, and then finally put a record out in 2008.
Okay, and that's the record that we talked about earlier, the one that's like the craziest, most interesting record of all time.
Yeah, that's the one.
I'll describe people what it is. I just recently bought this record in Minneapolis at Jaime's Records on Lake Avenue. Great record store, good dog, good people. And it's the whole thing is printed in 3D. And it has, as a part of it, it has 3D glasses with it. But those 3D glasses are a part of the LP itself. And it's, is there anything online you can see this? It's on Forced Exposure, huh? Forced Exposure sells it?
I don't know.
It is. I'm seeing it right here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
yes.
Forced Exposure. So everyone go on Forced Exposure and buy this LP. It's the greatest LP. It's incredible. I should just read this right now. Formed in Minneapolis in 2004, Knife World has converted many unwary bystanders into true believers through their frenetic gigs in underground venues and occasional club. Have you read this at all?
I think it was... It might have been taken from a... article from the City Pages, actually.
Okay.
If the author is Dan or Dave Hansen,
excuse me. It's a quote. There's no, author credit, but.
Yep. Okay.
Either way, this album is incredible because the 3D glasses, you guys put them into the what's it called? The label?
Matrix.
The Matrix?
Label Matrix, I guess.
The Label Matrix, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah, the center part of the LP where the label will be, there are two holes. And one has red and one has, what is it, blue?
Yeah.
What color? Red and blue. And you can you put that record up to your face and look like a really... I want to have a picture of myself holding that record up. That would be a cool photograph, just holding that record to your face, looking through that as like your glasses. So you guys did that yourselves, right?
Yeah. You know, I really can't take much credit for the drilling of the holes or that bit, but
you literally drilled holes in the in the LP.
Yeah, Josh, the drummer in Knife World, him and James Lindblom, that runs Roratorio Records, they took stacks of I think they were able to do up to 10 at a time, but
putting drilled, a drill press.
Drill press and a hole saw.
On a what saw?
Like a hole saw.
Okay, got it. Yeah, the kind of that the little saw that's a hole.
Yep.
Right.
And drilled those, and then we had labels made with the circles stamped in them, and then we actually took 3D glasses apart.
Okay.
And took the lenses out and then put them on the label and then put them on the record.
I get it now. I was wondering how that was possible, but now it makes sense.
Yeah. That was the...
Deceptively simple.
Yeah, right. I mean, we tried to make it as simple as possible.
It looks amazing, though. It's a record you should definitely get. Knife World's a lot different in terms of the sound of it from 4-5-5. It's a more... How would you describe it?
I don't know. You know, I mean, it's more sloppy and
it's like a,
it's just more raucous and
it's bigger, huh? Bigger, louder, faster,
louder and faster for sure.
Yeah.
More, heavy metal influence.
The guitar is very present. It's awesome. The guitar work in there is really great. It's like just this ripping, full blasting stuff. It's pretty incredible, all of it. Is that stuff available online at all?
I think it's... I'm pretty sure it's on iTunes.
It is, okay.
I think that's all I know.
What's the name of that LP?
It's just called Knife World.
Knife World, okay. Yeah, so people, go ahead and get that. Maybe I'll play a little piece from that LP here real quick, and we'll go to a break right now after this song I play. And then when we come back, we'll still be in the episode here of Twisting the Wind with Johnny Pemberton, featuring John Nielsen of the bands Knife World and Fortified Five. And he's brought his guitar, so maybe we're going to hear something live in the mix here on your radio station. You're tuned into your dial number 1-6.5-293-84216. Call us back, get us in, lead us out, show us how you got to where you are today by doing what you weren't doing yesterday. Okay, great. Bye.
Yeah!
Welcome back to Twisting the Wind. You never left, actually. That was just a little break there. You probably heard like a commercial or like maybe a couple sounds. Actually, you probably didn't hear an actual commercial. You probably heard a commercial for the thing you're listening to right now, which is Twisting the Wind here on Feral Audio Network. John Nilsson's here. We listened to his bands Knife World and Fruity Fence Francois and the Fortified Five, also just known as Fortified Five, right?
Yep.
John Nilsson of Minneapolis, Minnesota, here in Los Angeles, California. He has his guitar, and we talked about this just seconds ago about playing a song, right?
Yeah.
So you've been performing lately around places. You told me some name you performed under.
Senator Butthole Johnson.
Yes.
Is one of the names I go under.
Senator Butthole Johnson. Does that have an origin story, or does it just have the origin of being a cool thing to say?
Yeah, it actually, I don't know if it really has any origin other than, I guess I used to live with a couple bandmates, and we would do prank phone calls.
Oh, you
frequently.
Did? Really? Wow.
And, man, it was so fun.
Did you ever record those?
We never did.
Because, that's like sort of like a addiction of mine, in a sense.
Oh.
Yeah, half this podcast is me prank. Well, they're not so much pranks as they are phone calls to talk to people in a way that's just very... either overly forthright or just some sort of a way that's not normal to talk to people I don't know. Usually it's corporations, like a shampoo company or a place that sells flashlights or a... Most recently, I think I called a place that does hand sanitizer. I call that quite a bit, yeah. So you guys do a lot of prank phone calls?
Yeah, mostly just to friends.
Right.
More is just kind of a nice greeting.
Okay, yeah.
But, a lot of times it would be, absurd or offensive or scary sounding or something.
Okay.
The only rule is that we just, could not actually just say hello.
Really?
And just,
acknowledge
that we were who we were or anything.
So it's like a sort of very oblique way of doing it, kind of.
Yeah, and then you'd hang up and they'd call back and you wouldn't answer it.
So you'd say you're Senator Butthole Johnson?
Well, we would just say random things, and eventually we just started saying that, one of the characters was we were the senator, and then it just evolved into buttholes, and then Butthole Johnson just seems like
Sounds good, yeah. Johnson does come up in Minnesota quite a bit. The name, the words Johnson.
Right.
Yeah, it is a person's name often.
Yeah.
But to the extent there's a band called Sarah Johnson, that's a joke because it's everyone knows six Sarah Johnsons in Minnesota.
Right.
Yeah. So you're going to play a song, a Senator Butthole Johnson song?
Yeah.
So to speak?
This is either, Senator Butthole Johnson or sometimes I started doing open mics, which
really... Oh, that's great.
I never, ever really thought I would do that, but I just get such a kick out of it.
I can see that being a really cool thing to see.
Yeah. I just love to just go up there and pretend like I'm, clinically insane, and people often laugh, but then they're also really uncomfortable after they've started laughing.
Really?
Because I've brought myself to tears a couple times, which, sometimes I'm in situations where I'm supposed to cry and I can't.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird sometimes.
Right. Well, there's something about performance that does that. If you're taking on that mantle when you're performing, sometimes it's really easy to get to that emotional point because it's just this weird scenario. So, because if you're up there and you're in the moment and you're playing this weird character, it's like I've been there. It feels kind of good because it's so crazy. You're like, I'm gonna be this crazy.
Right.
Wow, that's crazy. That is funny and crazy and good. Yeah, those open mics are something where they're kind of used to anything weird. So it's a thing. It's almost expected because there's so many true clinically insane people who go there
yeah.
as this is what I do, this is what I do today. This is my thing to do today,
yeah.
is this,
yeah.
is to tell you guys about this thing that I know about that you need to know about. And maybe it's not a performance, maybe it's part of a performance, maybe it's something, but there's so many of them that it's a, you're fine. You can, it's okay to be
yeah,
a lunatic.
Right. It feels really comfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, I really like a lot of the ones that I've gone to. I mean, it's been people that just take themselves really seriously.
Yeah.
And I love going up after them.
Have you been to any in LA?
You know, I haven't. Actually.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. I think the culture here might be a little different, but it can't
yeah.
be that different because there's weird things here where, you know, it's just Hollywood and it's all these performers everywhere, but there's also these places that are right next to legit theater stuff that there's an open mic going on and there's lunatic crazy dudes playing right next to some guy who's working on material who's like he makes money doing comedy sometimes,
right.
you know.
Yeah.
That's such a cool, it's a cool mix.
Yeah, right.
So what might be, does the song have a name or anything or doesn't it
really?
It's okay.
Yeah, I think it's called it's called, well, let's see. I'll do one called Regular Sex.
Okay. Should I dim the lights?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I'm going to dim the lights.
That would be nice. It is kind of a sentimental song.
There you go. Lights have been dimmed.
It's kind of a sad one.
Okay, that's good. That's fine. We'll take it.
All right. Cheryl, we don't have regular sex. What is regular sex? I don't know. Our parents don't think we have regular sex. What is regular sex? I don't know. Where we tried it with the needle-nose pliers. Still, I couldn't put the poop in the shoe at the right time. Well, I never thought this would divide us. Guess it's just our time. Guess it's just our time. Guess it's just our time. Well, that's fine, honey, baby. Cheryl, we don't have regular sex. What is regular sex? I don't know. It was better with the leash and the collar. Still, I couldn't put the poop in the shoe at the right time. Well, I never thought this would divide us. Guess it's just our time. Guess it's just our time. Guess it's just our time. And that's it.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh,
clapping.
Thank you.
Oh, that's amazing. It is sad, but it is beautiful.
Oh, thanks.
Sad, but fun. No, it is beautiful, but funny, but sad, but funny. A very funny song about regular sex by Senator Butthole Johnson. So will that song appear on something at some point, you think?
You know, I've had a lot of really stupid songs like that for a while, but they're just so dumb that I've had a hard time recording them. Sometimes I just don't think I have what it takes to really execute it properly.
Right. You mean like the recording of it?
Yeah, right.
Okay. In what way?
Oh, man, I just want, like, really polished,
okay,
really professional sounding.
Yeah, that's the thing about music that's sort of a joke-style music or something that's, like, it's funny, is the production is such an important part of it. Sometimes it just, you can't, it's hard to get that together.
Yeah.
Steve and I recorded some songs. I never made them public. I don't know why. I should have. I still probably will, but we had this character a while ago. I think I called him something, not Scott Stapp. I think I called him Scott Wild. No, because some, I think I call him like what's the guy from Black Soundgarden called? The lead guy.
Oh God, I don't know.
I can't remember his name, but it was something Stapp. I had my name like David Stapp or Chris Stapp, some crap like that. Like I was Scott Stapp's son, raised by Chris Cornell of Soundgarden. In the house that Scott Weiland owns. Something was basically me doing these really shitty, terrible acoustic 90s rock songs in the vein of, of Creed or STP with a little bit of Soundgarden. And I wrote like four of them. And we recorded them once, but Steve did all the backing tracks, all the guitar and the bass and stuff. That'd I just did good. The acoustic crap, the acoustic guitar stuff. And they ended up sounded great. Well, they sounded... In a way, it sounded great in a way that was actual great as opposed to being like great, like highly polished. Because we recorded onto a four track, it's with Steve in the basement with all of his stuff. So they sound almost like, because the way I sing is not good. So I end up singing like, what's the guy from the Misfits?
Glenn Danzig.
Yeah, I end up sounding like him without trying to, because that's how I sing. And so it sounds like these really weird Misfits outtakes that are. The worst lyrics you've ever heard, but the problem is you can't really understand the lyrics that well, so the joke is kind of lost. So it's this weird thing where it's hard to describe. I feel like I should just play one for you because I have them. We should listen to one
because you would.
I mean, there's only a few people I know who would actually get this shit because it's just so. I don't know how to describe it. It's really weird, but this. Let me just pause for a second here so I can find these tracks. Okay, we're back. We're not actually, I mean, we didn't actually leave. I just paused it. But in the universe in which we're recording, time had passed and we did something. But in the universe in which you're listening, no time has passed at all. You are gifted through the wormhole of sound.
But we have changed.
We have changed. We have changed fundamentally as people and it will reflect on the recording. So here's one of the three songs I recorded with Steve. I think this might be the first one I wrote. It's called Mama Say, Mama Do. And this is joke music. It's supposed to be 90s shit rock, but this is what happened when we recorded it, and here it is. Okay, here it goes. Almost good. Mama say, mama do. I find out his name is Jake Cornell. That's what I was calling him. Jake Cornell. Raised by Scott or fucking, what's his name? Chris Cornell. But the legitimate son of Scott Stapp of Creed. The lyrics in there, you can't understand them, but the chorus is, mama say, mama do. Look at me, then look at you. Take a face and look at you. I just can't stand Sunday morning. mama said, and you heard, in disguise from the word, broken ears, too much learned, I can still hear you screaming. Lies and quivers, fortune tellers, more to this world in an avalanche. Take your chance. There's more here than there was before. You shut behind the door all the gifts your life destroyed. Who found the key? Masters, all peons of... Ugh, I don't remember any of this shit, man. I don't think those are the exact lyrics, but that's basically that song. That's a legit Cornell.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but it sounds weird, right? It doesn't sound like... It's not produced, obviously. It sounds like... It sounds indie. It sounds rough. So it's this weird thing where it kind of... You know, I listen to him like, it kind of sounds good, but that's the problem. It kind of sounds too interesting and not like... to make something slick...
Yeah, it needs
slick,
to be more generic.
Yeah, it's got to be slick as fuck and have... But that's the challenge that people face as joke musicians. It's hard, man. My friend Trevor Moore, you know that guy?
I don't.
He's in this group, sketch group, Whitest Kids You Know. He's been on the podcast before, but he has an album coming out on Comedy Central, actually this Friday, his special. He's a genius at that. But what he does is he hires like a studio band. Like they have like the real session guys, and they do these songs, and it sounds, some of them sound too good, I feel like. Not too good in a bad sense, but just like, I'm burping up my blueberry cold brew shit here. But yeah, they just sound super slick, and I don't know. It sounds almost like so real. It's almost not funny because it's it sounds really like a legit Lynyrd Skynyrd song being played live from the late 70s or something.
Right.
Ugh, it's good. To steer it back to you, the guest, John Nielsen, I was asking you in our break when we took the wormhole timeout about the poo-smeared mirror thing you have. Because there's this tape that you gave me that I listen to in the car all the time, and it's one of the funniest things I ever heard in terms of... It's like this weird thing of, you know, the Harry Nilsson album, The Point?
Yeah.
Where it's like the story of it. But it's also this... I don't know. It's something... How would you describe that album? Like, what is that? Because it's not a regular album. It's not like a regular music album.
No, I consider it a musical.
Okay, a musical. So it's sort of like something like a Zappa type thing. In a way.
Yeah. I mean, it's no doubt about it. I mean, it's definitely influenced by that.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't really like set out to like mimic what they were doing, but I really... I mean, it all actually came from a mushroom trip. Really.
Okay, great. That's good, because most of the time you don't get anything from a mushroom trip other than like new endorphins and peace of mind. You don't actually usually get a piece of something creative. I feel like anything I've ever written down from those mushroom trips, I have to... Like, I don't know what this means, but it sure meant a lot to me at the time when I wrote it down.
So that
came from a mushroom trip. How did it come out of that?
Well, it was several of us. We were actually working the door at a show at Medusa, and I don't know how it spiraled into the pleasurable, precious Parpus powder, but we just started saying that over and over, and it just kept on snowballing into more and more development of this story and what the Parpus was.
Like this genesis, like creating a world of this that this thing lived in. Okay.
Yeah, and it just kept going, and somehow I convinced a group of people to actually do it.
You just recorded it, like a little, like a radio play almost.
It was right, actually. The reason it happened was because Knife World was scheduled to play a couple of shows.
Okay.
But Josh quit the band. And I still had these shows, and I didn't want to back down from the show because it was going
to
be a fun, wild time.
Yeah.
So
I just
decided that this would be it.
So you did these live?
We did. I mean, at first it was just terrible sounding music.
Okay.
And then we developed that slightly, and then the whole mushroom trip happened, and then the whole thing came together.
Okay, so the purpose powder happened after the music?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. A lot of the music was... I mean, the music is really loose.
Okay.
So, I mean, it was...
almost like incidental music.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, you know, giving directions of just like where to kind of change things or something.
Right.
There was loose structure.
So, so far as the tape, the album, is that recorded live?
Yeah, for the most part.
Really?
Some of the skits are, you know, those were recorded after the fact and edited together.
Got it.
But we did perform that that same show a couple of times.
Wow. Yeah.
And I'd say it really only worked once.
It's a delicate thing.
But it worked.
Yeah. Because the tape, I would like it to be online so I could play it for people, but it's not currently, is it?
No, it's not.
It's just cassette. How can people even get the cassette if they want it?
Actually, I've got a box full of them.
Okay. Yeah, but man, upload that to your Bandcamp and have it be just a single track you buy for $5.
Yeah. That's a good price point. I really just...
It's hard.
I live in the dark ages.
Yeah.
You should look at my phone. It's an antique. It was connected to the wall for a long time.
Really?
But, I had to join.
Yeah, I have to join the wireless network.
I'm just terrible at that stuff. Bad at self-promotion, bad at any of that stuff. But you're right. I really would like to share that one with people because it was... a hell of a lot of fun.
I really like it. Well, I mean, that's the thing is I heard this and I'm like, I really want people to hear this because I think it's so funny. It's funny in a way that I haven't heard something be funny in a long time, but it's so absurd and it's so, but it's so serious in its absurdity. Like the characters in there are, I love that sort of thing where it's this, oh, we have to do this because if we don't, Shermaya will be Dunderfeln into the, like that kind of thing. It's just the seriousness, but it's all clearly absurd as shit.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll find a way to rip a piece of that cassette and plaster it onto this podcast for people to listen to. And they can get a little taste of that fill. It's good. I think it's real good. It's cool. It's quality. It's worth putting out there.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks. Yeah, it was a hard one to keep together. I mean, everybody in that band, there was 9 of us.
Oh, shit. Okay, that's a big band.
And everybody, I'd say, is by no means insane, but has a quirky personality.
So you mean flaky as hell?
Yes. That is, a couple of them suffer from that.
Flakiness.
And then, and everybody is just... an odd duck in general.
Got it.
It was a miracle that we all got together, even just like once to practice.
Yeah.
You know? Recording that record was such a pain for me.
I bet.
Just to get everybody in the same spot and just to do, you know.
The same thing.
The same thing.
At the same time. Do you want to play us out of here?
Sure.
Okay. What do you want to play? We could just play something. We could just make something up or something. Or
oh yeah,
I don't know. It's your choice.
I really don't want to play this thing.
You don't want to play the guitar?
Well, I will.
Okay.
If you want me to.
Maybe you just play something, and I'll just talk about the sponsors.
Oh yeah, yeah, I love that.
No.
Okay.
No stakes.
No mistakes.
No mistakes. No stakes.
Okay.
I could hook up. Let me pause real quick. Hold on.
Hey, welcome back to Twisting the Wind. We're gonna take you out here now on a breathy, adventurous dip neck. It's a dip net. Okay. We've got a couple dip nets we're going to be using in this Alpine stream pond. And there's a guy here named Tavin. I can understand Tavin, but Tavin has difficulty talking by himself. Yeah, see, there you go. That's about as much as you're going to get out of Tavin these days. But just because that's the case doesn't mean that we can't find a place for him in our lives and in our hearts and everything. We're going to be together for just a little bit longer. So thank you so much for listening to Twisting the Wind.
Please be sure to go on to the SoundCloud, the 4255 SoundCloud, and buy the music. Download it to your fucking device box, you motherfucker, because otherwise the world stops and we all die inside the world like a ball of shit that's been crusted over but still wet inside.
Have you ever noticed that certain pieces of shit appear to be dry on the outside, but when you crack them open to add them to your papyrus plant that you're growing in the front yard, it suddenly reveals itself to continually continue to be moist on the inside. Have you noticed that? You have. You have whiskers in your dads?
Yeah, both dads. Both dads.
Both dads have whiskers. So you're a cat baby is what you're trying to say here.
Two times
cat baby. That's the phenomenon we've witnessed a lot here on the other side, is cat babies and their mothers and fathers. But if you have a two-dad cat babe with a double Xer and no Y in there, you're going to find yourself deeply replenished from a place that the source amplitude modulation is not a 420-friendly thing. Because we're looking for 420-friendly people. That is, people who like to smoke dank. People like to smoke cub. You smoke cub?
Dank.
You smoke dank or cub? Cub, it's backwards for duck. Because we all know the best
dank smells like a fucking duck butt.
Water off a duck's back is how I feel when I'm dipped. I got dipped.
Listen, here's the truth once. I was in San Francisco. I was dipped deep in the dank duck buck. And I had a hell of a pound of cub on me. It was compressed into a banana shape. I went on down to Haight-Ashbury and I got a drip coffee. I dipped it in there and it all dissolved and the smell was everywhere. All these motherfuckers started running from the corner saying, hey, let me get a piece of that. Let me get some of that cub. Let me get some of that cub, mother frash. And all I had to do was just tell them it was cub, and they all ate it up and got so high that we couldn't see.
It was like a zombie nightmare inside of my face.
We're all there. It was terrible. It was horrible. It was, be sure to get a fucking t-shirt from Twisting the Wind.
They're still available. Go online. There's only a few left, okay? How's that for a postscript, honey? Thanks for listening. Oh, does that get louder? How loud can you play that?
Say it again. Say it again.
Mission of the National Security Agency to assess and flag citizens of the country who may present a threat to its security. The NSA has clearance to wiretap by any means necessary.
Tapped. Incidental recordings of private conversations from the files of the NSA.
Now on feralaudio.com.